Welcome everybody to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast, where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the rumors on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. We're joined by the God of Thunder, the Trophy Hunter, the Gallivanting Man, Jordan. How are you, mate?
Ooh, I feel like that's the first time you've put it all together and made it rhyme like that. That sounded good. I feel good now. I'm feeling energized.
We're feeling good. Who do we have? We have the Stealth King, the Professor of Gaming, the Solid Snake, to my Nathan Drake, Vikarth. How are you?
Doing
well.
Well.
And we have the employee of Vikarth's YouTube channel, Dan Allen Gaming. I am Dan.
And we are. How are you doing, my fellow employee? Am I treating you well?
I'm looking
enough?
For a bonus, do you have man. A right condition?
You want a bonus?
Yeah, you're only paying me
$2,000. How about you start pumping out some more videos, mate?
Well, you're paying me $2,000 per year. It's just not enough. Can we get it to three?
Yeah. We'll see.
2003.
Can I have some employee benefits? Like, can I play some table tennis with your new table tennis table?
It's only for managers and above, mate. So,
well, how long until I become a manager?
It's another 7 years, I think.
Why seven? Very specific number.
Because that's when Dead Island 2 is going to come out.
Exactly.
Whoa, is that going to be the big break for the channel?
Yes, right. That is.
Okay. Well, I might have to quit. Sorry, man.
You can't quit, man. You don't know this, but size one white font, there's actually a clause that says you can't quit.
Or else what? If I don't turn up,
you voluntarily
go to jail.
You voluntarily have assigned to play All Stars with me for the rest of your life.
If you kept going to a jail and said, "I want to go to jail," would they eventually let you in?
Well, if you started beating up the office staff, probably.
Yeah.
If you just rocked up every day, I want to go in. Let me in. I guess they'd just turn you away. Okay.
Be a prison guard, mate.
That's if we're going to be talking about jail, we might have to talk about what's that game called with Joseph Ferris? That's the only jail game I could think of. A Way Out, yeah. What other games are set in jail?
What about Prison Break, the seminal PS3 game?
Yeah.
What about that one?
Yeah, never played that one. Jail games.
Didn't ya?
There's also a phenomenal jail sequence in Metal Gear Solid 1 and 3. Where in Metal Gear Solid 1, you have to either fake your death by applying ketchup all over yourself, or you can hide under the bed.
That's right.
Or if you wait long enough, the ninja will come and just...
I found one.
Did you say that was in Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, the first one.
You know, sometimes with Metal Gear Solid, sometimes people say stuff about it. Is this like some sort of in-joke? Is there some sort of something that happens in Metal Gear where it's like, guys, what the game is... To normies, you've got to say really crazy stuff happens, and then they're just going to go, "Oh yeah, you've played it. It must be what happened," and then everyone's in on it. It's like right now, what you said could be total malarkey, but I'm like, "Well, Vikes played it, so it must have happened."
No, so in the game, you randomly get ketchup from Otacon, right? He randomly gives you ketchup as like a survival.
Well, it's not random. They know what's happening.
It doesn't happen. It does happen in the prison, actually. When he's in the prison, he visits you and he gives you ketchup, obviously secretly visits you without the guards there. And then you just have this ketchup and you're like, what the hell do I do with it? But the guard, he's suffering from diarrhea. So when he goes to the toilet, you can prone on the ground and then use the ketchup. And it's like this blood just sort of pours out and then you can pretend you're
Which game
dead.
Is that? Number two?
No, the first one. On
yeah, because I remember doing that. I was going
to
say.
Yeah. I know you're trying to help your case here, but it's still all it seems like to me is you've doubled down. Yeah, and he's got diarrhea and he has to go to the toilet. Are you kidding?
The prison guard, fun fact, Johnny Sasaki, I think, he is a recurring character in all the Metal Gears and he always has diarrhea.
Yeah.
And it's because you find out Metal Gear Solid 1, he was one of the only people who never injected nanomachines into himself. So he was always succumbing to the elements. Okay, but in the end, he couldn't be controlled. So
if you guys ever make a game, I'd love to be that character that I just reoccur as the diarrhea guy, okay?
Always a fart.
Next, you're going to tell me he's voiced by Mark Wahlberg or something. That's when I'll be like, whoa, that's all right. Let's slow down a bit.
He's voiced by someone famous, but I've got to... Nah, not
honestly, so every Kojima's time people talk to me about stuff, about Metal Gear, I'm like, I have no idea if this is real or not. It just sounds like such a fantasy.
Well, Kojima's like Joseph Farris. He's got his team and he'll wake up out of bed and he'll go, maybe if we have ketchup, a jail sequence, and then he makes his team do that. Much like Joseph Farris will come up with, why don't we have a full game of chess in my game?
It's true. It's true.
And then he sits back and the devs get to work.
I would love to do just a playthrough with Jordan of Metal Gear Solid 1. We're going to have to wait for that inevitable remake by whatever studio is making it.
Yeah. Oh, if it was remade and it was made, please God, give it a Resident Evil glove.
The rumor is it's MGS3, but anyway, I digress.
Okay, guys, we're going to answer some questions. And the first one's going to lead into the topic of today. And that one is, I don't have the names of who sent this, but anyway, I'll make sure I do that next time. Hope you guys are doing well. You're killing it on the podcast. Love listening to them during work. Are you guys going to do a Last of Us TV show podcast after the show finishes? Well, great timing. The show's finished and we're here and we're ready to go. What did you guys think of the Last of Us TV show? We'll start with you, Jordan.
It was a really good show, wasn't it? It was just so good. It definitely started with a bang. Like the first episode was fantastic. The second and third. The third was really like the crescendo. The third was really, really good. And it sort of lost a bit of steam from there. And I think it was due to the fact that we were like, okay. So, you know, after episode 3, when some changes are made, it seems like they might play with this a little bit. I wonder what else they might play with to keep us entertained. And then episode 4 was quite good. And then from there, it was still really, really entertaining and still quality because it's still The Last of Us and it's still expertly crafted. And having Neil Druckmann on set to help executive produce this and help write it, obviously you can see it, like his hands are all over this, but it definitely did hurt just not having as much time with the characters, I think, as we did in the game. It's still a fantastic TV show. I would argue it is still in the upper echelon of HBO's content. I don't know if you can call this original content because it's an adaptation, but in terms of HBO's like TV show content, this is in the upper echelon for sure. Yeah, I loved it. It was essential viewing every week, and I'm really, really jazzed for however many seasons we get moving forward.
Vikarth?
I have so much to say about it, and yeah, I think it was just a phenomenal show. I think it had its faults, but I would give it like a 9 or a 10. It was really well done. And for a video game adaptation, I was so impressed.
Yeah, I agree. I'd recommend the show. I wouldn't go that high. I'd go 8 out of 10. There's a few things that we're going to get into here that I wouldn't say it was bad or anything. It was just, for example, the time it took for their relationship to switch to from feeling each other out to, you know, they love each other. This is a father and daughter sort of relationship. I felt like that was a really quick transition for me. Mm. Out of nowhere, it felt like he loves her all of a sudden.
Mm.
It didn't feel like that gradual build up that you get with the game. And maybe that's just me. Another thing is with the casting, everyone was worried about Bella Ramsey. I thought she was great. I actually might have preferred her over Ashley Johnson. Now, that's a hot take, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is sacrilege.
I know. Now, this is a Naughty Dog fanboy you're talking to right now. But Pedro Pascal as Joel, oh, guys, I don't think he lived up. I don't think he lived up. I think
so. What you're saying is, after all this time we spent bashing Troy Baker as a voice actor, we're now saying
I know, right?
Preferred him over Pedro Pascal. Having said that, Joel is his best character he's played.
Yeah,
like I think we could, I don't know if we can all agree on that. I definitely think that Joel is
that and Booker. I would say by far his top two.
Troy. Yeah.
What about from the villain from Miles Morales? Who is phenomenal.
Well, you mean Troy Baker from Rock Song?
So the thing is, Pedro, I've seen him do such versatile work. Game of Thrones, he was fantastic. Narcos, he was in a Nick Cage movie recently. Like, this guy is a great actor. And then this game, I just didn't feel like I saw his full potential. I didn't feel like I was watching Joel. And that's just my personal opinion. Maybe we'll see more in the second season and how they're going to handle that. But what did you guys think about the casting and the actors? Because Troy was actually in episode 8.
Yeah.
They had the guy that plays Tommy. He was in like episode 3 and 4. Marlene, same actor.
Yeah.
They had Ashley Johnson come in as Ellie's mum in episode 9. So, and then you had the main cast. So what'd you think of the casting, guys?
You know, for me, it's definitely Joel and Ellie are the standouts that you really have to nail, right? So I can, like, you, I think for us who have played the game, you really look at those voices, their inflections, everything so closely, right? So for me, I actually felt what you felt, Dan, but with Ellie. And I, when you see Ashley Johnson in that last episode, I'm like, when I hear her voice, man, like, I just miss. I loved her voice. Gosh, she could have been so good. Don't get me wrong. I think Bella Ramsey's great. I've kind of, you know, she was probably a bit, I don't know. It was either she was a bit too funny or a bit like there was just this whiplash of her being either really aggressive and mean or really funny. So I don't know if that was Bella's
in Ashley Johnson's version.
No. In the show.
Okay.
In the show.
You thought Bella Ramsey was too aggressive at points?
Like, she was either too aggressive or too funny. There was so much whiplash back and forth. Like, one moment she's saying funny jokes from her pun book. The other moment they're at the settlement and she's just having a go at Tommy for this weird reason. This girl's staring at her. She's having a go. I'm like, about 10 minutes ago, you were saying jokes about puns and patting a dog. It's a bit strange, but I don't know if that's an acting issue or more just their characterization. But, you know, the way I looked at Last of Us and the casting is there are key scenes in The Last of Us, for me anyway. Key scenes are David, the death of David, Joel and Ellie in the house having the argument about Joel saying, "You're not my daughter." Like, those are key scenes. And obviously Joel with Marlene.
David was great. The guy who played him. That he was.
So I really, and even Ellie with Bill, like at that point. So I just, I don't know. Yeah, I kind of feel like it was good casting. Like, you couldn't really do any better. And yeah, I think the supporting characters were great. Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson were phenomenal. Yeah, I think it was great casting. You could have made a better choice here, a slightly better choice there, but overall for this show, it was great. Top tier.
Do you agree, Jordan, with the casting?
Yeah, I love the casting. Pedro was fantastic. I don't know whether I'll ever get sick of him being just.
He is very likable. That's one thing, isn't he?
Yeah. Great actor across the board. Ellie, I didn't like at first because, as Vike said, Ashley Johnson has such a distinct voice.
Mm, yeah.
Where it is such a, for someone who's, because she's in her 40s, isn't she? Isn't she in her late 30s,
late
early 30s, 40s?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for someone who is, I'm not going to say she's that old, but for someone of that age, she does have such a very teenage voice and it suited Ellie so perfectly. So I sort of missed having that at the start with Ellie. And I did feel like Bella Ramsey was a little bit more one-noted. But as the show went on, Bella Ramsey is HBO's Ellie. I totally get that. Like, I'm with it now. I get it. I love it. I liked it. Riley, the casting for Riley in the Left Behind episode was fantastic.
Perfect.
That was really good. The casting for David, I think I actually like that version of David better than the game David. As good as Nolan North is, like Nolan North is obviously a legend of the thing. The David that they went for was a little bit more serious, whereas that the David from the games, he's not a goofball.
I agree, though. I know what you're saying.
He's a bit odd and
he's cartoony,
quirkier.
He's a bit cartoony, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
This was more serious. This was religious. This was disturbing, really disturbing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a yeah. You could that with the other one, with the other David, there was just something about him that was a bit more light. It's still pretty messed up in the game, but there's something a little bit more lighthearted, whereas this guy was like all business, especially because you get the scene with like in the dinner hall
Well, when they that bring helps, like, doesn't it? Yeah.
yeah, I think that's why you can just say that this David means a little bit more business, and he is a you can see him as a leader, as a dictator in this camp that they're in, and how
Do you think that
ruthless
was
he is.
strange, though, that episode? How, the burning building and they killed Dave. Where's all the other people in the village?
Yeah, I did think
There's
that
like
was weird.
50
How
of
they
them.
at the
Where did
end,
they
they just
go?
walk off.
Yeah,
They're just
they're
walking off.
just,
They're gone.
yeah, like, where are, is this not in the
Yeah.
village, this place? Are we like 30 minutes away or something, I'm guessing?
Yeah, because you know, in the like in
Yeah.
the game, you assume that no one comes to you because you've killed everyone.
You've killed everyone,
Well,
yeah.
not everyone, but you've killed a lot of them.
And all they could have said is one throwaway line of like, the killing room floor where we prisoned you and kill humans, that's like far away from the settlement so that no one knows. If they just said that one line, they could have
I guess
saved
that's
that
it is
plothole.
nitpicking, but that's all right.
That is nitpicking,
No,
yeah.
it's, yeah. I agree with Jordan. Like, that's the thing with the show, right? They added a lot of backstory to these characters, like Sam and Henry, like David, where and even Tess and though it added so much more to those characters. Because when you compare David in the game to the show, I think the show portrayed a lot better that David was a leader, but he was actually struggling. Like, people were losing faith in him. I think the show portrayed that better. I think the whole preacher aspect was really added a nice dimension to David as well. And yeah, I think the game maybe did the creepiness factor of him. Obviously, there is that child sexual predator type dimension to him. I feel like maybe the game did it a bit better, where the show just really at the end just like added these lines to like make him really be creepy, but it was kind of telling and not showing. But yeah, I just there's a, probably a lot of nuance. I think there's a lot of areas where the game did it better, probably more so, and then sometimes where the show really shined, I think. And that's I think the reason I rate it so high is not I don't give it a 9 because I think the quality was a 9, but I think for what they did, a video game adaptation, the respect of the source material, I've just got to give it those extra points because no other adaptation has done this well, like in terms of video games. And I'm just so impressed and so happy, very satisfied with the product we got.
I think my favorite episode would be the demise of Henry and Sam, that episode.
Yeah, that with the night scene.
The night scene where he's
Yeah.
taking, the bloater comes out, action finished with heavy emotional. It had it all, that episode. I was enthralled by that
Do
whole
you want me to
episode.
tell you a funny story? So, me and my fiance watched this show. Like, she
Same
gives this
here.
show a 10, and she, as soon as she watched the first episode, she was hooked. Like, she just wanted to watch more. That episode with Sam and Henry, so that bloater came. We were eating. She spewed up. She spewed up. She just like it looked so disgusting to her, that bloater.
Hold
Goes
on.
just a credit to the
What do you
makeup.
mean?
She couldn't like it just threw her off. It just looked
Wow.
hideous. Like she, the clickers and the makeup and the fungus. Like I think it's a testament to how well they did it. And then when Sam killed himself, was this, no, Henry, sorry. No, Sam. When Sam killed himself, she was bawling her. Like, I'm not talking about just a
Wow.
small sob when someone dies. She had tears flowing down her face. Like, it was, and I think the suddenness of it was
Yeah.
so good. In the game as well, right? It was just so sudden. You're like, what the hell? So it was, yeah, she loved it. And she was, yeah, I told her, she looked at me as she was crying. She's like, you're gonna say this on the podcast, aren't you? I'm like, yep. So I'm just like, she loved it. So, yeah. And she's normally not one to have like I don't know, yeah. So it's yeah,
Same
it
with
really she
my
was really
girlfriend.
impressed.
She
Yeah.
loved it, but she also said she can't watch it because she has so much anxiety watching that show.
We had a rule that she couldn't watch it if we ate. So it always had to be after dinner. So we'd watch another show and then once dinner was done, we'd watch Last of Us.
Yeah, man. It's transcended sort of
Wait until the
us
Shamblers
gamers.
come in like next
I
season.
know.
They're even gross.
Yeah,
What about
I
the
know.
Rat
Or the Rat
King?
King.
Oh, the
Yeah.
Rat King. The Rat King makes me sick just thinking about it. It's
Yeah, I
so
know.
gross. That's one of the
But
coolest designs.
I wanted to really touch on the whole fleshed out aspect. Like, I think it's such a great decision. This is what I mean, Dan and Jordan, about what video game adaptations can do and how they can bring stories to another level, right? Because in the game, we had no backstory to Henry and Sam and why they sort of left. In the game, we had no backstory to David really as much and who they are, you know, and even Bill. Right, Bill. I completely forgot about Bill. Bill was the other one. They're probably like the three main sort of
Bill
arcs.
And Frank. Yeah,
yeah. And this show just fleshed him out so well in 40 minutes. Right, that Bill episode was so emotional.
That was an hour and a half. It felt like that episode.
Yeah. Because it was so somber. It was just so somber. But it was. They just did such a great job. And this is what I want in our video game adaptations, where and it's Neil. You know, it's Neil Druckmann writing this. So it's his decision to flesh out these characters. So this is his intention, the original creator's intention. And that's what I really want, where it's a show that maybe recreates the game itself and stays heavily towards the source material, but just expands and builds on it and iterates on it in a beautiful way, fleshes it out.
Also give credit to Craig as well, Craig Mazin.
Yeah, Craig
Mazin. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's those small revisions that you see that we've seen it before. Like we've seen it with, if you think, take Robert Kirkman, for example, who writer of The Walking Dead and Invincible comic series. He, so like in the comic, like Rick loses his hand really early on. And there's a point in the show where Rick was supposed to lose his hand and Kirkman came out and said, I really regret having Rick lose his hand because it limited so much of what we could do with him in the book and made it a lot harder for us to because he was limited because he only had one hand from now on. So that was why I never went back to the show after like season 9 or something. So I don't know if Rick ends up losing his hand at some stage, but yeah, that was one thing that they revised. And then there's a few, I haven't watched the Invincible show yet, but again, Robert Kirkman came out and said, you know, we wrote this comic for like 15 years almost. We learned by the end and we knew some things by the end that we wished we changed and wish we didn't do. So when they did that first season, there's things that they changed that were probably for the better. As I said, haven't watched it yet, but that's what sort of Neil's done here, where Bill, we're probably never going to see again in the games, ever.
Yeah.
So having that awesome episode where they kept subverting your expectations, I kept waiting for the moment where Joel and Ellie were going to rock up and then they never did. And I was like, what is going on here? And then eventually they do, but you realize what's happened or you know what's happened. Oh my goodness. What a masterstroke of storytelling.
Mm. I know some people complain about the lack of infected in this show.
That was my biggest criticism.
I think that's a valid critique.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because how much action can you have in a show like this when you've only got 9 episodes to fit all this story in? Remember, they probably wanted more episodes, but HBO would have said,
yeah,
we're going to test this out because they don't know they're on a winner.
Yeah.
I think it should have been maybe 12 episodes. Like, I think the David episode could have been 2. You know, it just happened quickly, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ellie could have been in prison for maybe half of it, and they really could have fleshed out that. And
the ending, yeah. I think the ending fell flat, I have to say.
Yeah, the ending was a bit quick as well.
Yeah.
So just a couple more episodes. I think the real key to this and why Last of Us may not be perfect and didn't reach the heights it could have is probably because the way they dealt with gameplay, right? So let me put it like this, Dan. My feeling of whiplash with Bella Ramsey, 1 minute she's joking, 1 minute she's this like real mean girl, and your critique that Joel liked Ellie far too quickly, right? I think both of those,
because in the gameplay, you connect with the
dialogue moments, you press triangle when Ellie's looking at a wall and they're talking about it, you can see Joel slowly softening.
Yes,
or,
that's what I'm saying.
So, and how did they, and even the not enough infected, yes, they didn't, because there's the game in The Last of Us, the cutscenes you're not with infected, that's the gameplay. The cutscenes are with the humans and the gameplay is infected. So obviously this show is a summary of all the cutscenes in a way. So how, you know, if you don't have the gameplay and what you're doing in this show is you're actually just going from beat to beat. You're going from cutscene to cutscene, really. And they do it smartly where they will maybe slightly move scenes around or slightly introduce characters later or soon or slightly do things so they can make the cutscenes fluid rather than having gameplay, you know, make you run all the way there. They're just sort of already there, that sort of thing. So they did it well. They deal with the gameplay well, but in dealing with it in a way where you're actually just replacing gameplay with just all the cutscenes, you're actually losing out on the subtlety of Joel and Ellie's relationship, which I agree with Dan. It happened a bit too quickly. I think you're dealing with the subtlety of Ellie's growth because a lot of her growth does happen from dialogue and things. And also, yeah, not enough infected. Like, think about it. Not a single brick was thrown right in the entire show. Not a single brick. Like, that is such a seminal part of The Last of Us. And even the crafting and things. Not that I expected Joel to whip out his bag and craft a Molotov cocktail.
I was waiting for at least one Molotov. There's a few things like that where you're like, oh, maybe they could do that. I reckon maybe just, I reckon two or three more encounters across the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been fine. I think you could have had a sneaking scene getting past the clickers, maybe in like the subway station. I think you have one combat scene, maybe like the Ali and David combat scene with the infected, even if it was just a few minute thing where they're holding out waiting for Troy Baker to get back to...
That didn't happen. I was waiting for that. Didn't happen.
Yeah, same. And that didn't happen. And then I reckon if you have just one more with Joel and Ellie together, I reckon that is enough. Like, oh, imagine if they did the hotel. You know when Joel falls down the elevator?
Yeah.
Well, they changed that whole thing up where she gets... They changed the whole thing. You know how they kept reiterating she wants the weapon and then she finally... That was completely different, wasn't it, from the game?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you get why some of the gameplay is illuminated. Druckmann's come out and said it as well. It would have been boring if every episode was littered with combat of just killing the same type of infected over and over again.
Yeah. Like, I agree with the decision, but maybe not to the extent they did it. But that being said, season two, like Last of Us Part Two, I think this style suits that more. It suits Last of Us Part Two more than Last of Us Part One. Because I think in Last of Us Part Two, maybe my memory is just a bit fuzzy with that game because it was still quite a while ago. But there's less of that inter-gameplay relationship because you're by yourself for a lot of the game. Yeah, you were Dina as Ellie and stuff, but you really are sort of by yourself in a lot of ways. So I just feel like there's not much of that Joel and Ellie banter or the relational growth through sort of environmental storytelling as much. But
I think your mind's fuzzy.
Yeah, maybe my mind's fuzzy.
What about Lev?
Yeah, you're right. Lev? I guess Abby and Lev, right, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like that scene where they're at the top of the building and Abby's scared of heights and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably right. But then, see, this is the thing, Dan. If they stick to this formula, they're going to miss out on a lot of this stuff, right? Like,
I know.
I don't want them to fall into the same problem.
Well, they missed
again.
Another thing that could have gone in with the infected, having more infected battles was, you know, that boss fight with the, what do you call them again?
The bloaters.
The bloaters, yeah. There was no boss. You know how he was in the high school?
Yeah, in the college, yeah, or high school, yeah.
That scene where they, where like that floor opens and they just all rush out in the show, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was very like World War Z.
That was cool.
It was really cool, yeah.
I guess they're going to save that a fight like that till next season or maybe they'll never take it down. Maybe they'll just, it's a immovable force. And I like that as well. It's unkillable, you know.
Yeah, I just think it could have been longer.
Mm.
And even Shivani said like that, my fiance, I should say, that David scene was just a bit too short. Like that episode, like she even said that could have been longer because it just sort of went from problem to climax to conclusion, like really quickly.
Mm.
And even I was wondering why Ellie, like it's really interesting. I don't know what I feel about this. In the game, when Ellie kills David, Ellie like hacks his head in, but then Joel comes and stops her from finishing it off. He's well beyond dead, but Ellie, like, you know, Joel grabs Ellie and they hug and they have this moment where they're talking. You can't hear with the music. Here, Ellie just hacks him to death and finishes it off and then goes. And I'm like, I wonder why they chose to do that rather than Joel running in and saving it. Because I feel like in the game, that is the real moment where Ellie,
That was a misfire in the show.
Because that was a moment where Joel really saw Ellie as a daughter, I feel like. Because Dan talking about this, like, I want to say one thing. When Dan is talking about how Joel and Ellie liked each other too quickly, it actually, I think, it actually undercut the scene. You know, my favorite scene in the entire game of The Last of Us is, you sure as hell ain't my daughter. And Joel and Ellie was like, you know, I'm not her, you know, and you know, Joel's like, you're treading on Martha than us, and like that sort of stuff. And I feel like that scene was undercut because when Joel says, "You sure as hell aren't my daughter," he's already had been chummy with her in the show. You know, they've already traded jokes, and he smiled when he goes to sleep and had said those puns. But in the game, he was a lot more reserved and was a lot more subtle. So you could sort of see him starting to like her. But then that scene was sort of like, well, no, stuff you. You're not my daughter. I'm leaving you. This moment of responsibility, Joel didn't live up to it. And he like wanted to toss her aside because he didn't want the responsibility. He was too scared. But in the show, he was already too chummy. So it didn't make sense for him to leave the responsibility. He already loved her a lot in a way. It sort of showed me that he liked her too much or so much already that it was out of character for him to admonish the responsibility away. But
I did love when he comes back. Well, you can either go with Tommy or with me. And she's like, shut up and let's go. And
yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
To be that fair, really nice. That the left behind, did you need it? Could you have used that time elsewhere?
I liked it.
I liked every episode. Let me just tell you, it was cool
that there was one episode that just summed up the DLC because it gave Ellie good backstory. It was good.
Yeah.
But these are the cuts they probably had to make with HBO. Mm. I'm guessing that's what it is. And that thing could,
go.
I was going to say the thing with Joel comes in to save her from continually cutting David up. That could just be as simple as Pedro wasn't on set that day because it's a different environment. Yeah. He's not in any of that, right? And then they cut to outside, which could have been shot. You see what I'm saying? It could just be as simple as that, guys. That's so just the logistics of it. Again, I don't know what their budget was.
Such an important scene.
I know. I agree. I think that was one of the biggest letdowns actually for me. That part didn't have as much emotional resonance or something with me, that part.
And I'm pretty sure it just ended like after they hugged, it just ended the episode.
That's when they
I'm
walk
like,
off that's when like he puts his arm around her and puts his jacket over her and then they walk off.
But this is it was still a really great episode.
And I just think this proves my point. This show always said it should stick very closely to the source material, and then you work with the original writers to deviate in the way their vision, their creative vision and narrative direction, and you flesh that out and flesh out the other scenes where the game might not have visited. I think of The Boys, the show, but you know, on Prime, and they made some great changes. I think, and maybe this is spoilers for The Boys, but you know, Black Noir and his identity, I think that is a great decision where they've changed that from the comics.
What did they change?
Or, well, spoilers, but Black Noir in the comics is actually a clone of Homelander, but in the show, he's not a clone. He's completely different.
Interesting.
So, and even making Stormfront a woman instead of this like rage-filled man or the way that
So under
Stan
the mask
Edgar.
Is Homelander's face, an exact clone.
Under the mask, it's like pure clone. And like it was Black Noir that raped Billy's Starfire. Butcher's wife. Yes, or stuff. No, Butcher's
no,
wife.
Not Starfire. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So it wasn't Homelander. It was Black Becky? Noir. Yeah, Becky. So that kind of would have undercut the character of Homelander, and the Prime show has done it so well. So I just think like that you can make a good narrative decision where you deviate from the source material, but it's risky, man. It's risky. But if you have the Neil Druckmann, the original show writer, deviating, then you're safe. This is what they need to do.
But it wasn't deviating because when you go to the Bill and Frank episode, he still... From the game, he loved his traps. You know, that's how you get...
He loved
his traps. They still fleshed that out. He loved his traps, you know. He had the cameras. He had his underground base. They had all the elements, but in the game, obviously, you get to talk to him and engage with him and off you go, find the letter.
There's no...
None of that in
battery
this.
In
He's already gone. So...
Yeah.
Pushing the car down the hill.
I would say that was an improvement from the game, but then you've got other elements that... So it's a give and take. Well, I think they did a pretty good job overall.
What I'll say about the whole Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, and you will, because my memory might not be right, but it's the reason why the Bill arc in the game was good was because there was relevance. Like there was gameplay and story relevance to Joel and Ellie that Bill was there. But it felt like in this show, if that Bill episode wasn't there, it wouldn't have affected Joel and Ellie at all. Like they just would have gone to this house where they were dead. Like, you know what I mean? There was no narrative impact for Bill, that Bill episode because they were already dead by the time Joel and Ellie came there. You get some backstory where obviously Tess and Joel have talked to Bill. But
what I got,
sort of not relevant to the story.
The whole episode was, the whole point of it was that he said at the end, you need to protect Tess. Tess is gone. So who's he left to protect?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. True. That's when he realizes he has to protect her.
And it does reinforce one of the points of the whole show, of many apocalypse shows, is that like the infected, whether it's zombies in Walking Dead, whether it's the
Reapers like in Days Gone.
The Reapers, yeah, those in Days Gone, whether it's the Cordyceps infected in The Last of Us, they really just set dressing and a backdrop for the struggle of humans trying to survive and the relationships we have with one another. Like that's why as much as it would have been nice to see more infected in the show, the fact that we didn't is still fine. It's still a fantastic game because it's really not like, yes, they are there, but it's not what it's about.
Also, they also got a car out of it so they could drive.
And they got supplies and stuff.
Practically, true. Yeah. But
yeah.
I see what you mean. So you didn't actually get that out of that Vike. You didn't really see the point of the episode.
I thought it was a great episode. Like it was very well done, but it's sort of like that.
It was a bit of a filler.
If it wasn't there. Yeah, it was a bit of a filler, even though it was a phenomenal filler. And if you asked me, would you want to keep that? I would say yes, keep it. I definitely want it there. But
maybe there could have been more connection.
I wish there would have been more connection. But that's once again, that's a nitpick.
Well, I actually thought that he wasn't going to kill himself. Like it wasn't going to work or something. And that way he was alive. That could have been an interesting way to do it. But there's also, it's sort of bittersweet how it all ends for them. So, yeah. Any other final thoughts on that, guys, before we get into a few more questions?
I do have one last thing I'd like to point out. So we talk about how, you know, they change things so that the message or the story beats can be more easily picked up by the audience. Was that any more evident with one of the final scenes with like Joel's rampage through the hospital? It's not combat scenes. It is him full on executing people. He is wounding them, going up to them, stabbing them, point blank range, headshotting people. They're walking past windows, boom, he's got them. And then you get to the end with the doctors. And in the game, you kill like all the doctors and the nurses, everyone who's in there, if I'm correct. And
I think you can just kill the surgeon.
But can I ask?
I thought you killed them.
No, you can kill them all if you want, or you can leave them. But you have to kill the surgeon.
I thought it was that you killed them all, otherwise they sedate you.
No, you have to kill the surgeon. The other two you don't have to kill. Now, by the way, Laura Bailey was one of the surgeons in the show.
Yeah.
I see.
Because did you know?
Yeah.
Did you know she was one of the surgeons in the original Last of Us PS3
game?
They recast that because of season 2.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's why she was. But yeah, the point is made no more evident that Joel is a horrible person who, if we hadn't spent this whole journey with, we wouldn't actually like than that whole scene there. That whole scene is to be like, yo, we like Joel because we've spent 8 episodes with him, but dude is not someone you want to be friends with. He is a horrible person.
He says you're doomed to humanity for personal gain.
But also they, in his eyes, they're horrible because they're taking his quote unquote daughter and killing her for a chance at a cure. What are the chances? Very low. So in his eyes, they're the villains.
Don't be a Joel
sympathizer. Again, I don't think he's that bad.
It's because you've got a big beard. Don't be a Joel sympathizer.
I'm sorry.
Right?
I don't think anyone's good or bad. I hate to be that guy.
That's the point.
I hate to be that guy. But
the way they actually did a bit more than the game when they said, so they can get this from Ellie's brain and develops antibodies. And like they actually talked a bit about it where it's like, hey, this thing could actually work more so than the game. But
true.
Oh, I will say, speaking of fleshing out, how good was that Ashley Johnson scene? They actually gave backstory as to how Ellie was immune.
Yeah, that was
brilliant. Got it bitten. They didn't cut the umbilical cord. And you can just tell that there's something to do with that because maybe as she got bitten, as she gave birth, you know, your body naturally develops like antibodies. Like, you know, it had natural immunity to the disease. Like, that was cool. We never got anything like that in the game. Great. great backstory. That is an example of that deviation from the source material. Like, deviating in a way, giving an origin to how Ellie got infected is big, man. That is big. So I think they did really well, and it was a great origin, I thought, because it didn't give away too much or give its own explanation. It just sort of said, got bitten, the umbilical cord was connected as she gave birth. Like, it didn't really do much more than that, but you could sort of, like, this is maybe why.
And she's a great on-screen actor.
Scientific explanation too. For it too.
Yeah.
She's a great on-screen actor, Ashley Johnson.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's really got a presence about her.
Dude, Troy was great too. Like, honestly, they were both great.
They all were. Every original actor came back. Another thing is the surgeon. I thought they would do more with that. It just sort of, it felt quick. You know, I thought he would get a few lines.
Yeah. It's the same as the game though. But that bit I love. Yeah. I love that that's the same, because people who haven't seen it will be thinking
you
nothing
won't notice
of it.
Yeah. If that's true. I understand. But maybe one couple of lines, not even. Just something.
Like, don't. I have a daughter.
No, not that on the nose.
Her name is Abby.
Not that on the nose, but yeah.
It's Joel tough. Goes in, punches him in the stomach. He's like, oh, my abs.
It's a tough one. But he isn't that bad. Did he kill the other two surgeons?
Nah, he let them live.
He's a nice guy, Jordan.
Okay. He's point blank executed all the fireflies.
Yeah, but
in
they
the
were
hospital.
Firing back. They were firing
back.
No,
but then he executed Marlene.
Yeah, because she was going to just keep coming back.
Yeah. And the fact that you see Marlene go and rescue Ellie when she's a baby, again, just points to the fact that, like, this dude gives not a single iota for anyone but himself and his feelings.
Mm.
So what would you have done then, Jordan?
I'd like to decline to comment at this stage.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate.
But it's supposed to invoke these conversations. That's why, and then again, this all sets up the whole point of the second game, which is what makes the second game so great, which makes, like, the cyclical nature of the whole story so fantastic.
We should also quickly mention that, because it feels so long ago, but the opening episode was really put you in the world beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
Did the game justice, enhanced it in some areas with the backstory and... So that whole thing was well put together as well. Got people involved.
I like the music. It was the original. Like, it was the game music, because it's so iconic. It is so iconic. So
it was pretty much, I was listening in for the soundtrack and it was pretty much the original score. They didn't use it much. In certain areas, they'd bring it in and it was, used different parts than they did the game. Like, the music was differently laid out, but it was still worked.
The final scene as well, they use the same music. I was hoping, because that climax with the strings, like, in that final scene was great. Oh, another thing, speaking of narrative, they made Sam deaf. That was really interesting too. I thought that was a great idea. It adds more sympathy, adds a bit of a deeper relationship. And they still, I was wondering this, because if Sam is deaf, how do you get Ellie and Sam to bond? Because that was, like, the big thing. They became mates, and they did a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. And then that decision to make Ellie, like, try using her blood to cure him, that was cool, because it sort of showed Ellie's naivety. Like, she knew that she had the cure, and then she just tried to give him blood because she thought, he's either going to die or just give this a go. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was cool that they tried that.
And I think that worked on casual people thought, this might work as well.
Mm.
I feel like casual people would have thought, oh, he's going to survive here.
That's a good point, Dan, because I obviously knew that was never going to happen. So I never thought. Yeah, I wonder if my fiance thought that was going to work.
Yeah.
Has this given you any inkling as to what might happen in a future Last of Us 3?
Oh, yeah. Now, with Last of Us 3, which they're definitely working on, they might be more dictated by the show. They might have that. Neil might have that in the back of his mind now when he's writing this third game or finishing it off. I'm sure he's already written it, but change a few things here or there, because you got that in the back of your mind now. It's already guaranteed a second season and probably a third and fourth down the line.
I want Ellie and Abby both in the game. I don't want Abby to go away, and I don't want Ellie to go away. So, I mean, Last of Us is definitely Ellie's story, right? Ellie is a main character. So it is Ellie's arc, I should say. So I really want Abby there. I don't know. I liked Abby.
It sounds like they're going to do part two is going to be two seasons in the show.
Or at least it sounds like.
Yeah, well, yeah. Which it should be, well, because there's so much in part two.
Yeah,
you could not do that in 9 episodes. You'd be absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Season one is just going to be Ellie, and then season two is going to be Abby. What do you think they're going to do that? That climax scene, and then the season ends, and then you start all over
again. But they can't kill off, you know, who too quickly in the show.
Yeah.
That'll be at the end of season three, I would have thought. They'll hold that off.
I reckon it could be end of episode one.
No, I just don't think HBO would allow it. I really don't.
Oh, actually, no, I take that back. I take it back. I reckon it'll be, yeah, it could be end of it, either of season two, and we get a bit more of Ellie and, you know, Joel together before Although, this happens.
He will still be in the show in flashbacks. So
you assume he'll be in flashbacks, maybe even talking to Ellie. Remember in the trailer?
I love how you guys are trying to keep the character anonymous, but by saying what you've said, everyone can piece together.
At this point, everyone's played it. Come on.
Yeah.
We can't go around the bush.
My prediction that I got from the show that makes me think, like, they really leaned into the cure stuff. They really leaned into, like, how Ellie got the cure, like how Ellie was immune, what a cure might look like. My prediction for Last of Us 3 would be that it's the ending to the trilogy. Might not be the last game in the world, but it's the ending to the trilogy. And I think it'll all come full circle. And whether it's alluded to during the game or whether it's something that she finds at the end, I reckon they'll find some other doctor who's been working on either someone else who is immune or has an idea for what might be able to make a cure. And they find Ellie and she goes, just do it. Like, it, they're like, you know, it'll kill you. And she's like, it's fine. Just do it. And then that's how it ends. And that, like ultimately, Joel's decision is rendered mute in the end because she ends up making the decision for herself when she wasn't able to earlier. That's my prediction of how it'll all end.
But he won't be around to see it. So he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so what would you... I gave it an 8 out of 10, the show. Where would you land on a score, guys, out of 10?
Yeah, I would probably give it an 8 too, but I'm giving it bonus points because of, I guess, the things I said, the way it fleshed it out, the video game adaptation. I was really happy with it, so I'm going to give it a 9.
Nice. Jordan?
I'm an 8.5. 8.5 out of 10. And Dan, you're an 8. Fence.
I'm an 8. I still think The Boys is the best show on TV or on streaming.
The Boys.
Yeah, I think that show's a 10 out of 10. I've already finished it all. That was last year. But I give that a 10. I just love
The Boys
show.
Is good because The Boys pulls no punches.
I know. I love the character of Homelander. I love Anthony Starr. I love Homelander. It is such a nuanced, like, great character. Just a great character, Homelander.
You go from laughing at him and the next minute you're like, oh, you're such a bastard.
Yeah, yeah. It's just great. I love it.
All right, let's get to a few more questions here quickly. Someone said playing Hades because Jordan never shuts up about it, right? That was a message that got sent through. And then
what was the message after?
Yeah, a few days later, I take back the sass. The game is pretty great.
I appreciate and accept your apology.
That's pretty good. I had to laugh at that.
That's pretty good.
Love the rebrand. Thank you. We did do a rebrand a few weeks ago.
Thank you very much to seems Dan to love for that.
Yeah, Revel Creative, shout out. I hope you guys are doing well. Currently playing Last of Us Remake in line with the episodes of the show. Really enjoying Hogwarts as well. The atmosphere is incredible. I've seen so many kids getting screamed at by howlers. It never gets old. Yeah, I found a funny thing with Hogwarts. You know this, Jordan. You know when you fast travel?
Mm.
Have you seen the fast travel where that girl just never shuts up?
The lady just yells at you?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a mod to shut her up, but they actually added it in the game. So now you can shut her up in the game.
Yeah, because you'd go into like a cabin in the woods and go to fast, like, or you'd fast travel to a cabin and then she'd be like, oh, fast traveling, are you?
Yeah, it just gets a little bit. Okay, next question. You guys are legends. Been listening to some classic eps lately. It's all pure gold. Some classic eps.
What are the classics?
I mean, they're all classics, aren't they?
I want to know what they are.
Yeah. Well, give us, what are the classics, mate? Appreciate
the Last of Us part two review, mate. Spoiler cast.
Yeah, I reckon that's what he's
all the spoiler casts, man. They're some of our best work. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, they still do good numbers. You were asking what we're playing right now. I'm playing Hogwarts and some Rocket League with the boys. Me and Jordan were reminiscing about this bit of Rocket League. We said, should we get back in?
We dominate totally the leaderboards. Should.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And I next, you messaging me at 2 a.m. going, Rocket?
I said, we can't now, Joy. You're asleep. Next on my backlog is Death Stranding or Control. You guys choose.
Death Stranding. Ooh,
we got to choose.
Yeah, I'll say DS, but, oh, man, Control is really good.
How do you choose between those two? Very different.
Did you end up finishing Control, Dan?
No, I haven't.
No.
No, but I will. I will before the second one comes, yeah.
Not too long from memory either.
No, no. It's just my pile of shame. It just keeps getting bigger.
The budget for the game was really small too. It was just crazy to me.
So we're going to go with Death Stranding?
Yeah, DS.
Yeah.
You've played that, Vic, have you?
I better get around to it, boys.
Honestly.
I've been hearing this since I came on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. It's actually been years now.
Vic. Hogwarts, mate. I want to do the Hitman thing.
There becomes a point, man, where you've just got to
give up.
Didn't
it come out in 2019?
Yeah, I think I got it day one.
Yeah, it's been 4 years. How's that going? Bit one late day to the party. I'm loving TMNT Shredder's Revenge, thanks to PS5 Central, and thanks to Netflix on the iPhone. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on Netflix app.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Would you lads ever consider doing an indie game podcast? I played recently Death's Door, Nobody Saves the World, and Celeste. They're phenomenal indies, very underrated.
I've played two of those. I played Death's Door and Celeste. Celeste, I did not get the hype for. Everyone said it was like such an emotional journey, and I was like, I'm not getting that. I can see how it could be emotional, but it just didn't hit me that way. But Death's Door was really good. Probably not as good as I was expecting, but still really, really good. Interesting combat, interesting story, fun little world to go around. That was
maybe
good.
We can do a best indie games video one day.
You know what would be at the top of that? Hades.
Well, do you have one off the top of your heads, guys, that you can recommend now?
Hades.
We will do that. I think we will do like ones that we recommend.
I think Journey is really good.
I'll shout out a game that I played in January. It's called Stranded Deep. Have you guys heard of it?
I have heard of this one.
You're put in a plane and the plane crashes, a bit like Lost, and you're on an island. You got nothing and you got to slowly build your way up, and you can play with a mate, a couple of mates as well. You got to build sticks, then you got to build a raft, and then you got to try and get to the next island. Keep building your resources. There's animals that attack. There's sharks that will swirl you. And you just, it's a survival game. So if you like survival games, bit glitchy, bit buggy still, very indie dev, but if they continue to polish that turd, it's not a turd, but if they continue to polish it up, well, look, yeah, it's really got a bright future, I think. So
if you like survival, also a good indie is Don't Starve.
Yeah, you always recommend that. You and Kyle.
Yeah. It's good fun. Really good fun game.
Or a newer indie that I'd recommend would be Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb. Oh,
I'm thinking
yeah.
that when there's a new content update coming, and I was thinking that because it's a cross-play one and it's a cross-buy, I've got the PS4 version sitting there. I'm thinking when that new content comes out, I might play it again on PS4, like the PS4 version on the PS5.
Yeah.
Double plats for days, boy.
Beautiful. Okay. Hey, guys, love the chat about Hogwarts. I've been a PlayStation and PC player for quite a while, but I've never got a platinum trophy. In the past, I've mainly just played FPS titles, sports games, and battle royales. I've been getting a lot more into RPGs, and the love of open world stuff has increased. I've finished quite a few games, but never got the plat. What do you think should be my first platinum? I don't get much time to play these days, So maybe not something that's 10,000 hours would be nice. Love the podcast.
I love that he's gone from, you know, I want to get a plat. So, and I play a lot of FPS. I'll just go straight to RPG. It's like the hardest genre to get platinums from. What a pivot. I love it. Oh, good first platinum.
I've had seven accounts. I've had seven accounts, and every time my first plat is Uncharted 1. That's a tradition. So I've platinumed seven times. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's simple. Yeah. It's not too long. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want a grindy platinum, right?
No.
Mm.
I'm trying to think best platinum.
Uncharted's a good one.
Spider-Man? Miles Morales?
Spider-Man, both of them. Both Spider-Mans are really good options. Ghost is a really good option.
I think Miles Morales is the perfect platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a beginner.
Someone said Deathloop.
Yeah. Oh, Deathloop's so good. That's a really good trophy list. Not for a beginner,
do you think?
Well, yeah, you can do the golden run once you know it, but Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Someone said Sifu.
Ratchet and Clank is a good, very good one. Infamous Second Son, maybe?
Sifu.
Yeah, definitely not Sifu.
No, no, not Sifu, no. Yeah, there's a few. I think Miles Morales is a really good one. Not too long.
I second that motion.
Yeah, and Ratchet and Clank, anything Insomniac. Here's a good question, guys. What effect do you think gaming has on your mental health, good or bad or neutral?
It is such a debate. I know there's the classic argument that video games causes violence and all that, and I think a lot of studies have just completely debunked that, but somehow it's still there. Mental health, that's a good one. I think with any hobby, you can obviously take a hobby to an obsessive level where it is destructive, right? Whether that be, I don't know, any hobby, reading or building, or, you know, if you get completely immersed and absorbed in a hobby where you're making it the number one thing in your life and everything else is being shut out and you're addicted to it, then that is going to be negative. So I can't say that, you know, people say, you know, gaming is really bad for you. It's a waste of time. I don't see it like that. Anyone can waste time with their hobbies, whether that be someone who spends all day in a garage building or doing woodwork, or whether someone is just reading nonstop. You know what I mean? So I don't.
Well, I think the waste of time becomes with you're not making money. That's where.
Well, it's. Is that yeah, what and, it is? You I think? Don't, no, I think it's, you know, a lot of parents just think, you know, video games are a waste of time. You're not allowed to play video games. You have to concentrate. You know, you can't play on weekdays. But it's like, then, you know, but they're on TikTok and Instagram on their weekdays anyway. And it's like, yeah, and it's
which
it's
one
sort
would
of,
you prefer? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think social media is infinitely more destructive than it is one of the most destructive things, and infinitely more than any video game. Look, I understand if you're a kid and you're playing GTA, I think that's not a good idea, you know? If you're 8 years old or 9 years old and you're playing GTA 5 and you're going to strip clubs or you're killing people, whatever. Oh, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. So I'm talking in the context of your age. If you're playing age-appropriate games, I think video games are great for mental health. And it for me, my
hold
fiance,
on, I got an argument, Vic. My brother Brad, who you know well.
Yep. Yeah.
One of the nicest guys, right?
He's better than you, man.
Do you agree? He is. He's better than me. At 7 years old, he loved Mortal Kombat.
Champ, all more power to you.
He loved the fatalities. He loved them. Couldn't get enough.
And you know what? If he was seven. Playing it at six. He'd be at Evo right now.
He was seven. He was seven.
But
it's an R-rated game.
It is each their own. Like I didn't think Brad. Like I don't think Brad became obsessed and this gory-filled guy.
Not at all.
It is everything in moderation, and it's sort of relative. But yeah, I don't know. Video games, I think, is a healthy outlet. My fiance mentioned this, and she had a bit of a light bulb moment, and it kind of clicked in my head too, where she's like, I actually realized, Vi, the way you consume narratives, and this is after The Last of Us, so it just goes to show that how, you know, good this show is for people to understand video games. She's like, I actually realized, Vi, that the way you consume your narratives and your fiction is through video games. And I said, yeah, like she reads a lot of books. She's an avid reader, and her fiction is consumed through storybooks. I don't read many fiction. Most of my books I read are nonfiction, but the way I consume fiction is through narrative stories like God of War, like Last of Us, like Metal Gear Solid, these amazingly written, top quality stories. So I think, yeah, I think video games have a great effect. They're a way to escape. They're a way to, I even think things like motor control and coordination, hand-eye coordination, I think video games do a great job in that, you know? So I know, obviously I know and understand the dangers. If you make it become obsessive, if you spend all day on it, if you're getting consumed by, you know, certain types of games and things, you've got to obviously hold yourself accountable and have controls in place. But that's like anything, you know?
Yeah. For me, I find it to be like it's a good time for me to like unwind and chill and relax. That's why I don't love doing games that like really have me like thinking too much or get me too competitive anymore, just because, especially like on a weeknight, like I don't need that. Like coming home after a big day of work, especially in the middle of a long term, like I don't need to be coming home getting frustrated at a game that I'm playing. I don't need that.
Not like, that you don't need it, you don't want it.
Yeah, and I don't want it. So yeah. That's why I am making a strict thing of like, I'm not playing games that I don't want to play anymore. I'm not going to go out of my way to get as many platinums as I used to try and get, because if it's doing stuff that I'm not really enjoying, then it's really just a waste of my recreational time. So yeah, as long as it's something that you're enjoying, then I think it's nothing but positives.
I wholeheartedly agree, guys. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. I actually think the studies, if you look at the mental health and psychological studies, they actually back it up that video games are probably a positive. But yeah,
in like moderation, you wouldn't let your for kids, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't let your kids go and watch the next Saw movie. You wouldn't, probably not a good idea to let your kids play the next GTA or Hotline Miami or something like that, you know?
But even, you know,
Miami, that's another good, really indie game. Really good indie game, sorry.
Back in the day when we were 15 or 16 and you got the weekend and a new RPG or big game to play, pump 10 hours in, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Or playing 1 hour, you know. I just think you got to have a mix of everything, social life.
Well, would you rather have them 10 hours on TikTok or, you know.
Exactly right. Well, we didn't have TikTok. We had a bit of Instagram, Facebook and all that, but it wasn't the same. I don't feel like it was the same for us.
It wasn't as consuming as it is.
No.
And in the mainstream as it is now. But
YouTube and streaming were in their infancy when we were. So
I mean, there are people who are losing weight and getting fit off Beat Saber and things like that. So there is a wide variety of video games as well. You know, it's not just Call of Duty and GTA. There are such a wide variety for those who like visual novels and graphic novels. Like there's all these visual, like Doki Doki or Ace Attorney, those sort
of
things.
Or The Witness, something like that, where your mind.
Puzzle games to train your brain, The Witness. Those are hard puzzles. They're really hard puzzles. So there's just so many sports and racing, management, RPGs, shooters and narrative games and walking sims. And yeah, there's just such a wide variety.
And I would argue like, some of the people complaining about gamers, what do they do when they get home? They sit and watch TV. You know, I would argue gaming's... Yeah, and gaming's way better than doing those two things.
I would argue interacting with the medium you're consuming is so much more productive than just sitting back and watching TV and letting it feed through you. You know, you're actually interacting. Mm. And that being said, look at all the F1 races and touring car races. They're training on things on like Gran Turismo and things like that. Like there is...
They're training on the F1 games, yeah. Or
they're
similar,
training on the F1 games, yeah. And like Flight Simulator and, yeah, I don't know. It's... Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits.
Last one, guys. Question, are you guys worried about the future of gaming?
No.
I'm just gonna keep it at that.
Okay. I am a bit worried about, I guess, the way we're going in terms of maybe... I think we are coming back, which is good. But the way the free-to-play model is and the way microtransactions are... and how it's becoming a bit of a norm and live service, I actually do see that pivot back, because obviously we've been seeing in the media recently that so many live service games are shutting down and you know, Suicide Squad got delayed and we'll talk about that a bit soon. But, you know, we can see that people are realizing, or these companies are realizing that. I do see that video games are getting infinitely more expensive, but the games are the same price. So profits are getting reduced, which forces companies to... to go for these low cost, high reward, heavily monetized live service games because they want to maximize their profits. Where maybe your classic AAA story game, it's costing $200-300 million to make. I don't know what the average. I guess the average is about what, $100 million for your AAA, maybe a bit under that. I know Destiny was like.
I think it's so varied. You couldn't put a number on it. I think.
Yeah.
It's not like. It's not like movies. It's so varied. So, Jordan, you got to leave us. Any final words for the audience?
Play Hades. Beautiful. You won't regret it.
Take care, Jordan. We'll see you next week.
Take care, guys. Talk to you later.
See you, mate.
So, Vike, what were we saying?
Yeah, I think just with the way the games are, it's harder to make a profit. And there's just so much risk now. Not risk, but because it's being so hard to make a profit, there's so much risk aversion. So a lot of these companies are going for the low-risk options of sequels. They're going for the low-risk option of heavily monetized games. And they're going for that live service, trying to chase the trend because they're so desperate. So I don't know. I'm a bit worried in that aspect, but we have to let the market speak. And us as consumers, this is why we have the power on our side. We can choose not to buy these games. When we choose not to buy Avengers, when we choose not to buy, I'm not going to say Suicide Squad because it hasn't come out. When we choose not to buy Anthem, when we choose not to buy these games, then that communicates to those developers that, okay, this isn't the right way we should go. But then when God of War are making record profits, when, you know, these sort of single player games, Last of Us, are selling like hotcakes, hopefully we can, I don't know, push it in the right direction. But
I'm not worried because 2023, I would say, has been one of the best years ever in terms of game quality that we've had.
Mm.
We've got the Dead Space remake. We've got Hogwarts Legacy, Atomic Heart, which I love. I really enjoyed, not so much others. And then also Resident Evil 4, which is reviewing very well as well. So you've got four really great titles, and I'm probably missing some others as well. And we're not even a quarter way through the year. You've got things like the Zelda sequel, Final Fantasy, Starfield, you know, some big hitters coming as well, Star Wars, Jedi Survivor. So it's looking to be a great year. I'm just going off what we're getting at the current state. Last year was a great year. Two of the best games ever made, arguably, God of War, Elden Ring, more so Elden Ring for me. I still look back at Elden Ring and go, this game's insane. It's insane how good that game is in so many ways. Like, there's guys that I know that are playing for their seventh playthrough and enjoying it as much as they are the first, doing different builds that they've never explored before, going for no-hit attempts on bosses, all sorts of things. Mm. And the bosses are so varied as well. Like, they're all different. It's just such a good game. Then you got the fighting side of it, like Street Fighter, Tekken. I'm really into that. Check out an episode with me and Evander that we did on that. But that sort of that thing's getting a resurgence. You know, there's probably a Mortal Kombat coming. So there's a lot to look forward to, I think. And we still don't, you know, I'm really looking forward to factions. So I'm looking at it from what we're getting on an output point of view, like what games are coming. That's how I am looking at it. In terms of how you're looking at it with the microtransactional side and all that, I was worried about NFTs for a second there, but it looks like that's faded away now. Yeah, I feel
market like speaks, man. No one wanted it.
No one wanted it. It's gone.
See the profit in it. Yeah,
I feel like as gamers, if we don't want it, we will tell them. We will.
Yeah.
We will win in the end.
What we've got to realize is we've got to speak with our wallets. If you say one thing and then buy the game, they're gonna look at the money, not what you say. So I think we need to do more in supporting the games we want more of. And obviously abstaining from things we don't agree with, because for me, it's still like, I mean, not so much now because I barely have time to play games, but I still have not touched, bought an NBA since 2K14, because after that, when the casinos and the heavily monetized and the way VC grind is like, but 2K14 is my most played PS4 game of all time, besides Overwatch.
So what would it take to get you back? The casino gone. If they said, we're wiping this out, you're back.
Well, if they just made a... Like, it's just something I don't agree with. And like, yeah, I miss it. I miss playing 2K, but I'm not going to pay money and give money to them when I have to spend hundreds of hours just to grind up 1 point to slightly improve my 3-point shot and then go to a casino to hope, you know what I mean? And spend all this money for shoes and Jordans. You know what I mean? So I just don't agree with it. So I think we have to just not, and don't get me wrong. Most casuals just don't care. Like, they'll just buy 2K because they want to play it. And, you know, and that's why it succeeded.
Can I ask you a question, Vike? You say you don't play games as much these days. Do you watch more content than do you watch TV more than you play games?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
let me finish. So I would argue you prefer TV over gaming.
I would definitely prefer video games over TV. It's just the times, the reason why I probably consume more TV is because of the shorter, I guess, investment in time. Because if I'm on my lunch break and I maybe have 45 minutes, I can watch a quick 20-minute show or a 40-minute
anime. Could you not do a quick mission or two?
It just doesn't, my brain can't, like, I just can't just turn on like God of War and play for 30 minutes and then just like, you know what I mean? I you know what, Dan? I probably should try it and I think I might.
What
but
about something
I've
like
never...
Hades that is 30 minutes per run or something
each
like
run,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I can and maybe I should do that, Dan, but I've just never been able to. For me, like if I'm playing a video game, I want to stay for hours and play it and have a good session.
I know,
session.
But I think it's your mindset. And I think if you...
It is my mindset, 100%, because I will just happy, because if I'm on my lunch break, I'm just happy to turn on a show and watch it. Or if I'm, let's say I'm getting ready for something, like, you know, getting ready to go out or whatever, while I'm getting ready, I'll just have a show on in the background while I'm doing stuff or while I'm cleaning. You know what I mean? So it's more, normally I'll have a podcast or something, but if I don't, sometimes I'll just watch a show. So, or a KO sports summary or whatever, but I don't know. It's just the easiness of it, the easiness of going, you know, diving and dipping in and out that makes it easy for me. Where with a game, I kind of want to sit down for hours. I kind of feel a bit robbed if I can only play Last of Us for 30 minutes.
So have you planned the next game that you're going to play? Have you in your mind, do you know what it is and do you know I'm going to play it on Saturday? Or have you not even gone that far?
Guess what? I played Desperados 3 the other day. I bought Hogwarts and I've installed it. So it's ready to go. I just need to set aside some time to do it.
Yeah.
But
you will set a good chunk of like 4 hours of a
That's
of
what
a
I want to do. And that's why when I was in
But
Sydney,
have you done that?
No, I haven't. That's the thing.
That's the thing.
Hey, you get busy with life, man. You know, you got things. You got to go out. I've got a wedding to plan, you know.
Yeah, but...
It's tough, you know, and you got to spend time with family and friends and, you know, it can be tough. I think when I was in lockdown, it was really easy because every Saturday and Friday night I had nothing to do. So I would just finish work on a Friday night, get my chair, plonk my butt on my chair and just play Horizon or Ratchet and Clank, order Uber Eats, and like it was the best. That was like the best, man. Like I still can't get over the memories of me. I would get every Friday night Garmy Chicken, which is like a fried chicken, cream fried chicken joint. I would get that and play Returnal every Friday night for weeks, and it was just my little ritual I would do. And it was
how
the best.
Fun was that?
Oh my gosh, it was the best, man.
So
I loved
you want
playing Returnal and eating chicken.
In your life?
Yes.
Then why aren't you doing it?
I can't Uber Eats, Stan. I'm shredding for the wedding, so I can't. I'm on a diet.
Too. I'm shredding for your wedding.
Yes, yeah, as a groomsman of mine. But hitting the gym 4 or 5 days a week.
Oh, well, that's another
hard
thing.
Fun time. When,
it's tough to be a gym junkie and a gamer as well, I find. Not a lot do those two align unless the person works from home or is set up in life, doesn't have kids. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into that.
Yeah.
Because as you say, like, at the end of the day, The Rock isn't a gamer. He's in the gym twice a day doing on movie. He's not a gamer. He doesn't have time, right?
We've spoken about this, mate.
What?
These rich Hollywood celebrities, mate, their schedule means absolutely nothing,
they
mate.
Could. They could. If they wanted to be a gamer, they could. Yeah, I know.
They could. Like, yeah. If I had $1 million and a chef and everyone can cook for me, drive for me, sort out my meetings.
They actually have to be on the set for like 10 hours, to be fair.
Yeah, when they're doing a movie. I'm not talking about acting.
Yeah, when they're outside of a movie, yeah.
Outside of a movie, I'm saying. But it's easy to wake up at 4 a.m. and have a meal and go to the gym.
I don't think it's
like,
ever easy to wake up at 4 a.m. Trust me.
I don't know. I used to do it and it was, I don't know. But
it's never been easy for me anyway.
It wasn't easy, I'll give you that. But
I think for me, I can't go to bed early. So, because I'm a bit of a night owl. So you end up getting to bed at 1 a.m. Getting up at 4 isn't quite practical when you're going to bed at 1 a.m. every night. So
you know what I've got to do, Dan? I think I agree with you. I'm going to have to start implementing my gaming into shorter blocks rather than trying to hold on to something I really want to do and play for hours on end. Got to live with the reality. And then
Elden Ring mindset or something. Because Elden Ring, that is 100% true, what you've got there. You can't just play 30 minutes. You couldn't do that for Elden Ring, I don't feel like. But when it's Hogwarts, I think you could just drop in for an hour and come out quite easily.
That's what I wanted to do. And I've probably got a block out time in my calendar. I might have to do that.
Or you just make your work. You just make gaming your work. That's what I do. Otherwise, I'd probably be in the same position.
Yeah. No, it's just life. It can be tough, I think.
You also, you are planning a wedding. Yeah. And, you go to church and go to the gym and you've got friends. Not many of them. No. You've got friends. And, it all adds up, as you said. And you do want to watch some of those shows as well, like Last of Us. Like, you want a balance of everything. And
like, I know. And it's like, how am I going to watch The Last of Us and, let's say, The Mandalorian and, all these new shows? Like, there's so much anime out. Like, I'm a huge anime guy. Like, you're watching My Hero or Demon Slayer, Vinland Saga, God. Tokyo Revengers. Like, how am I going to watch all that as they come out? So it's,
And it really is. It comes down to your work, doesn't it? Because that 9 to 5, you remove that, how much time do you have?
Not much.
To use?
You got to cook. You got to clean.
Oh, okay.
Like, when you live by yourself, you still got to do all that sort of stuff as well. So,
What I'm saying is, if you didn't have to work, you get the 9 to 5 back.
Oh, how much? Yeah. Oh man.
Mate, what would you do with the day then?
Death Stranding, 8 hours a day, every day.
So you got to set up yourself financial freedom by 40 so you can do this.
Yeah.
Retirement's going to
be exciting.
No.
Do you know what my retirement's going to be, Dan?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like family and stuff, but it's going to be cricket, footy, gaming. That's it. That's all I need. And all the sports I can watch on KO, all the games I can play on my PlayStation, and just whatever projects I want to do. I want to read 100 books, all the time. So, it'd be good.
All right, Vic, any closing comments, concerns, outcomes, mantras, quotes, philosophies you'd like to pass on?
Hic Parvis Magna. Greatness.
From small beginnings.
From small
which
beginnings.
Is actually this show, right? We're
it
small
is.
Beginnings, weren't we? And look at us now. Millions of listeners across the world from all sorts of countries.
It.
All right, Vikarth, it has been a pleasure to be with you.
It has. I love you, man.
I love you, man.
And it's an honor to have you as my groomsman for those who don't know.
And it's an honor to be there. It should be a fun good. Night.
It will. It will.
And also.
And for those who don't, Kyle is a groomsman as well.
Kyle's a groomsman. He made the list. That bastard, eh? He was always going to make the list. Let's be
honest. He made the list, of course.
He's a great guy. Now, we're only saying this because Hopefully the retention's dropped off at this late in the podcast, so no one's listening. we would not say this at the top of lives. We would not say this at the top of the podcast. No way. Because no. he might listen, but he would never make it this far, would he? Has he ever listened to a full app besides his own app that he was on? Because you know he listened back to that one.
One day he'll listen to all of them.
I wonder how long it would take from start to finish.
I wonder how. Oh, yeah. On times two, guys. Real people listen to it on times two. Real fans listen on times two.
All right, guys. It's been a pleasure to be with you. We'll see you next week. Take care and goodbye.
See you later.